With the 20th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast, presented by AAA.
Every athlete has a journey. Focus on the game, less worry about getting you there. Auto repair, roadside assistance, and auto insurance. Start your journey at AAA.com. Hello, everyone. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA. I'm pleased to be joined, as always, by Bo Wolf.
Hello, everybody.
And Fran Duffy.
Hey, guys.
And we'll give a shout-out to the man behind the scenes, Chris Barletto.
The voice.
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast.
So, unfortunately, he does not have a mic today, but he'll be doing a great job behind the scenes for us.
The man who Tony Pauline likes to call Barletto.
Not the only name he mispronounces. No,
that's certainly true.
Far from it. So we are 1 week away from the NFL Scouting Combine. Fran and I will be in beautiful downtown Indianapolis.
Can't wait.
Checking out the all the latest prospects, getting you all the big news. But we'll be providing complete coverage. We'll be doing a podcast from Wednesday through Saturday while we're out there.
Every day. Every night, expect it.
Audio.
We're going to do one-on-one interviews with as many prospects as we can get while we're out there from Wednesday to Saturday. We will also hear from NFL coaches, executives. We'll have draft analysts, experts, Tony Pauline, who will be joining us later in the show for our Mr. Relevant segment. He will be with us as well, providing complete coverage. He'll be giving you the stock watch, you know, who's increased their stock, whose stock is sliding a little bit. So we're going to have everything covered for you right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. as well as the Journey to Draft podcast. We're very much looking forward to it.
There we go.
So before we delve into our draft buzz and get you caught up on the latest headlines, I figure we should start with an Eagles-related slant that's kind of picked up in the news in the last couple of days, especially over the weekend. And it was news regarding Marcus Smith II, the Eagles' first-round pick from a year ago. And we talked a lot about him on the Journey to Draft podcast last year, talked about how he would be a very good fit in this defense, and obviously didn't produce on the field for the Eagles in his first year. And Trey Thomas, who had worked with the coaching staff, his contract was not renewed, made some comments to the media in radio interviews saying that, you know, Marcus has a lot of work to do, that he has a body of a high schooler. Trey did a lot of work with the outside linebackers working on the pass rush technique this past year. And Marcus, he responded in an interview as well, saying that, look, everything that Trey said is correct. You know, he's told me up front, you know, I know that I have a lot of work to do, and he's actually in Georgia and Atlanta right now working out, getting ready for the offseason program, which kicks off in April. Just want to get your guys' take on.
Well, I mean, it's not, we all know that Marcus Smith has a lot of work to do. I think that's no surprise. Obviously, he was expecting to make more of an impact than he did this year, but, you know, maybe not the smartest thing for Trey Thomas to be talking out of school, I guess, but I mean, it's no surprise. No one's going to tell you that Marcus Smith had a great year and that he's ready to be a Pro Bowl player next year. He has work to do. That's, I mean, obvious.
Yeah, I mean, coming in, he had three guys ahead of him on the depth chart. So I think if you were honest with yourself, you weren't necessarily expecting him to come in and have, you know, 8 sacks and 75 tackles in his rookie year. I don't know that you're expecting the amount of production they actually did end up with. But I would express, look, be patient, I think, with Marcus Smith. And I still think he's going to be a really good player. So
I agree. It's tough for pass rushers to come into their own.
Sure.
I think the big thing is that position is going to be in the spotlight this offseason because there's questions about what is Trent Cole's long-term future. Brandon Graham is a free agent. So I think that's probably even more so why Marcus will be in the spotlight. So, but it was good to hear those comments from him. Good to hear that he's working out. And certainly it's going to be a big offseason to see if he can make that jump. And that's something that Dave Spadaro, Bo, and I answered in the big question this week on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Who are the players that we think can make that big jump from year one to year two? And a couple of guys you talked about from the class of 2013 in Zach Ertz and Lane Johnson.
Yeah, I think those are the guys who you expect to make the Fletcher Cox jump, the jump from good to great. And I think, you know, Lane Johnson sort of needs to make that jump as this offensive line transitions from this group of guys to whoever the future group of offensive line guys is going to be, because him and Kelsey are the only two under 30 years old. So and Zach Ertz, I think we all sort of expect that he'll be a big part of the offense. But, you know, Trey Thomas had to give another interview and said Marcus Smith does work very hard. Like, it's not
sure. Yeah, absolutely.
It's not like he needs to start working hard. He's just, you know, he has to keep going through the process. And for everybody, it's becomes trite at this point. But we always say the jump from year one to year two is what you always look for. So getting a full year of of a off-season conditioning program, perhaps Marcus Smith's body will take that jump too.
Hopefully so. And that's why when you go into a draft, you want to draft the best talent. You're not looking for that instant impact. You want the long-term benefit of the guy coming into the program. So on that note, let's transition into our draft buzz so we can start talking about the players in this year's draft class.
Now it's time for Draft Buzz.
So we don't get to hear Chris on the mic, but we get to hear him in the bumpers there. So great job by Chris Barlow, our producer. So first note, you know, the official invite list for the Combine was released at the end of last week. And, you know, when this comes out, the first thing everyone wants to know is who are some of the most notable snubs from the list. And Dane Brugger put together a list. Guys, who are some of the most notable snubs that you noticed from the list of players who were not invited to
the
Combine?
Well, I mean, of course it starts with Xavier Williams, the defensive tackle.
The X-Man from
Northern Iowa. I mean, borderline malpractice on the part of the Combine not to bring Xavier Williams. That's insane. I think it makes me less interested in the event overall. I'm glad you guys are still going, but I'm glad I'm not going. If X-Man's not going to be there, good. The other guys, Devin Gardner, I'm surprised is not going, the wide receiver, former quarterback from Michigan. Deontay Greenberry, the wide receiver from Houston, the underclassman, surprised he's not going. Your boy Shaq Mason from the offensive lineman from Georgia Tech. That might have been the actual biggest surprise that he's not going. Deion Barnes, we talked about from Penn State, the pass rusher. Tony Pauline has been saying all along that he maybe made a mistake coming out, didn't get the invite. A few other guys, Cam Thomas, who I talked about last week, the Western Kentucky corner, big enough that I thought he would get a look. Eric Dargan, the safety from Oregon, who had a very productive season. And Jeff Luke, the linebacker from Cincinnati, who was at the Senior Bowl. He was so rocked up during the weigh-ins that I was looking forward to seeing if he was going to put up big bench press numbers or anything like that. But no huge surprises. But I think Shaq Mason and my boy X-Man, those were the big surprises.
Yeah, and I think Dane, who's Dane Brugler, CBS Sports NFL draft analyst, I think he did a good job putting together that list. And I think Mason was the most glaring one that he named in that list. A couple of other names that stood out, you hit on a few of them, so I won't touch on everybody. But Hudson Mason, I thought the quarterback from Georgia, look, obviously does not have the strongest arm.
He's not that good.
But look, the way that he plays the game, I mean, if you look in this quarterback class, obviously there's, you're going to be left wanting when you look at a number of these names. But the way that he approaches the game from, his poise in the pocket, he's a good decision maker, he's relatively accurate. So I think he brings some tools to the table that while he doesn't have the strongest arm, he doesn't have a wealth of starting experience, I think he's got some tools. I was surprised to see that he wasn't going. Amon Claiborne, the cornerback from Northwestern State, was 5'9", so he came in a little bit smaller than we expected at the Senior Bowl, but I thought he still played pretty well. He played on the Jaguars coaching staff side, and he did a good job in press situations. So I was kind of surprised to see that Claiborne wasn't there. Derek Malone, you talked about Eric Dargan, another Oregon guy. I thought Malone, a 6'2", 220 pounds, one of the more athletic linebackers in this class, watching on tape, I was surprised to see that he didn't get the invite. So, and Dane actually brought up a good point. He later tweeted this, that said the 32 guys were drafted last year that were not invited to the Combine. So
wow.
A lot of these guys that don't get invited does not mean that they're not going
to
get drafted.
And
32 guys.
To be fair, my Xavier Williams last year for not getting an invite was Walt Akins.
Who was the first guy drafted.
The first guy drafted.
And he was
round.
A fourth-round pick, exactly. So just because they weren't invited to the Combine doesn't mean that they're, all hope is lost.
Eagle eye with Bo Wolf.
That's right. So Devin Funchess was listed as a wide receiver. We talked about him last week. What's he going to be listed as? That's where he is for now. So
we'll get to that later on in the show. Lance Zierlein, one of the fun exercises that fans and people like to do during the draft process is compare the prospects with current players who are already in the league. And Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, who's done a great job, detailed scouting reports on all the players that are coming out, is compiling new information each and every day, putting them online there. He went through some of the players and offered a pro comparison, and I'll just run through a couple of them real quick, starting with Boise State running back Jay Ajayi, and he goes with Marshawn Lynch as a pro comparison.
Yeah, and the thing with the pro comparisons is I'm always kind of not wishy-washy with them, but it's tough because you're almost pigeonholing. You have to take it into context. So if the reader doesn't take it into context, then you're saying, oh, Jay Ajayi is Marshawn Lynch. And I that's unfair to Jay Ajayi to say that he's beast mode.
Ajayi or Ajayi?
Ajayi.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I think that, look, Ajayi is a very talented guy, inside runner. I think he'll be best fit in a zone blocking scheme, a one-cut system. But to say that he's Marshawn Lynch, if you're the reader, is tough. So, again,
it's about,
you want to take
style of play.
It's style of play. It's context. So, you know, you have to take it with a grain of salt.
A couple other comparisons from Lance Zierlein. Marcus Peters, he's been linked to the Eagles in some mock drafts, compares with Aqib Talib. I don't know if it's for off-field concerns.
Right,
it seems like a interesting.
Are there any short white receivers? Because I think we know who they'll be compared to.
The Wes Welker one, or the shorter running back is the Darren Sproles.
Right.
So, no, none of those. So, another one, notable, Devin Smith, the Ohio State wide receiver, to DeSean Jackson. Even though Smith is bigger.
Smith is bigger. Smith is bigger. I think, he's just as explosive as DeSean is. So, you know, he is very, very fast. Very fast. We'll see.
That's tough. I mean, DeSean is the most explosive receiver in the league.
Devin Smith is going to run in the mid to low 4.3s. So, I mean, just as explosive.
So we'll try.
That's high praise.
We'll see.
Well, that's what all these comparisons are high praise.
But to say just as, meaning there's a good chance he's more explosive, that seems like a reach to me.
I don't know. We'll see.
See, that's the thing with these comparisons. It's always, if it's not a good player, then you're going to think the guy's not good.
Well, and that's the thing is that
if you put in an average player, then it's just like, oh, well.
So, like, the way I have always looked at it is that there's a couple different ways you can do it. You can make a comparison to how you think he'll be used. You know, so, you know, is he a, you know, you look at a guy like Duke Johnson. Would you make the comparison that he could be Giovanni Bernard in terms of the way that he's being used? But, you know, the way that the Bengals use Giovanni Bernard, I think he could fit that kind of a role. You know, Amir Abdullah, could he be what Andre Ellington is to the Cardinals, or could he be more? I don't know. You know, so I think you can go about it that way. You can say that he has similar traits. So, like, you know, you look at a guy like Melvin Gordon. A lot of people make the Jamaal Charles comparison. I don't think that he's Jamaal Charles in terms of obviously he's got the same top end speed. So if you want to make that comparison, sure. I think that Jamaal Charles has much more wiggle, much more make you miss ability than Melvin Gordon. I think Melvin Gordon's a little bit more straight line. So you can make the comparison to a Lamar Miller. So, you know, I look at Melvin Gordon, instead of saying, oh, he's Jamaal Charles, I almost say I think he's a mix of Lamar Miller, CJ2K, and
so if you want to take aspects of their game,
the thing, and that's what I talked earlier about the context. I think that's the context you have to take it into. As long as you know you explain it, it's tough to say like, oh yeah, you know, Melvin Gordon is Jamaal Charles. I mean, it's tough.
Brilliant.
Thank you.
Very nice there.
Chris was itching to get a drop.
Let's transition to some rankings here. Josh Norris from Roto World, a friend of the program. He released his top 100 list, and you know I love all these top 50, top 100 lists. They're just as good.
Everyone loves lists.
Yeah, everyone loves lists.
What are your top three favorite kinds of lists?
My top three favorite kinds of lists. That's a good question.
List on list crime.
The lists of lists is probably be in the
That's
top.
That's a good
three.
One. That so should be a good one. So Josh Norris, number one at the very top of the list, someone whom Eagles fans are talking about nonstop. Marcus, is it Mariota or Mariota?
We guess Tony Pauline would say Mariota.
Yes. Yep. But Marcus Mariota is his number one overall prospect, followed by Jameis Winston. So Randy Gregory from Nebraska, who we talked about last week on the program as a potential slider, as someone who's projected to go top five, could slide down the ranks, is number three. I'll just go number four, Leonard Williams, the D lineman from USC, and Todd Gurley, the running back out of Georgia, even though Gurley's coming off the ACL. Thoughts, guys, overall on the list, on, you know, how it projects what the strengths and weaknesses of the draft are?
A few things jumped out to me. Well, first of all, you know, he had 15 first-round quality prospects, and he said that'll change because he admits that for the combine, edge rushers is the one position where he really factors that in. Maybe you want to explain why, Fran.
Just in terms of the short area quickness and the burst and things like that, there are certain metrics that I think he likes to look at when determining whether or not a guy has the potential to be a first-round player type player.
The other things that jumped out, he's got Doriel Green Beckham as his top receiver at number eight. Obviously, that's not factoring in whatever homework you're going to do on his personality. Then Kevin White, then Amari Cooper. It went 8, 9, 10. His number 20 player, since we're looking at the Eagles, was Marcus Peters. But the thing that really jumped out to me was our boy Trey Waynes.
Number 50.
All the way down at number 50, the fourth corner. One spot ahead of Steven Nelson from Oregon State. I don't I'm looking forward to talking to Josh about why he has Trey Waynes so low.
Yeah, I mean, that was of the guys that, you know, looking through and we're trying to see, okay, what are the ones that stand out? That was one that stood out in terms of a guy that was really low. Other guys that I thought were pretty high, I mean, he had Eric Kendricks, number 7 overall, talked about his coverage ability, talked about that Virginia game being his most favorite game of any prospect this year. And I believe that was week 1, a game that I watched, and Kendricks was unbelievable. I mean, you look at his instincts, both as a run defender and in coverage, and you can see why, you know, you would think about him in that way. It'll be interesting to see where he ends up going. I think the combine will be big for Kendricks, cause to another showcase to kind of display his athleticism. DGB, you know, being that high was surprising. And then Cedric Abui, the tackle from Texas A&M. I know Josh is a big fan of his, and he was in number 14 overall. And he said in the piece that he was not taking into account the injury. So
you are not a big Abui fan.
No. I mean, there are definitely some issues in his game. And I saw him a year ago as well in 2013. Really just his ability, his number one thing, and this is the thing that's going to affect whether or not he's you know, a good pro or a bad pro in my mind. There are other factors as well, but too often he is allowing defenders into his chest. So not getting his hands onto defensive ends quickly enough. Now, whether that's, you know, Texas A&M over the past, you know, we saw Jake Matthews last year. We saw Luke Jokel the year before. Always. Now, this was the case with both of those guys as well. Their hands are at their waist. And when your hands are at their waist, it takes longer for them to get up into the opponent's chest, as opposed to guys when they, you know, you look at a guy in their pass set and they've got their hands up by their chest, so it's an easier punch. So, you know, I think that's just the way that those guys are coached, because you saw that over the past 3 years with all 3 guys.
Look at that. That there is tape detail at the finest, Fran Duffy. Let's delve into some mock drafts here. It seems like the groupthink at this point is Jameis Winston will go number 1 overall.
Yep.
And everyone wants to know where will Mariota go. And, you know, the mock drafters at this point, they're not projecting trades. I haven't seen any with trades, at least up to this point, but are thinking that Mariota will go to number 6 to New York Jets. Couple that I looked at here, Lance Zierlein, bring him up again. He pegs for the Eagles, Jalen Collins, cornerback out of LSU. Todd McShay, his second version, goes with Landon Collins, safety out of Alabama. And Dane Brugler, who we talked about a little bit ago, Quinton Rollins. So
Collins, and Rollins.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, the all three are obviously very good players. Collins, very intriguing because of his size. I mean, 6'2", 198 pounds, has the speed, has the athleticism, has the ability to play man or zone coverage at a high level. He's not great versus the run, but I think, you know, he kind of holds his own there. The big questions with him are he never really consistently held down a starting job there at LSU. And obviously they always have a ton of talent, particularly in the secondary. So, you know, he's battling each week, but again, he never really held down that starting job. I think he only had 11 career starts there, if I remember correctly. And then, you know, just his eye discipline, his instincts, things like that, I think can just become more consistent. So those are the questions with him. But from a height, weight, speed standpoint, I mean, he's got what you want. Landon Collins, I think, is an interesting guy. You know, I think he does everything really, really well.
You did you did your intensive.
I did some work on Collins last week. So, you know, I think obviously he's a very, very good tackler. He's very good coming up near the line of scrimmage. On the back end, I mean, I think he's got a really good feel for man coverage. I think he reads route breaks really, really well. Shows the ability to be able to break on passes, you know, earlier than expected. The biggest question, I think, is just his speed in the middle of the field, being able to play sideline to sideline. I think he's got the feel for it, and that can make up for it in some cases. So, you know, I think that's the one question I think you have with Collins.
And then with Quinton Rollins, we talked about him at the Senior Bowl as one of our, I think, pick sixes who were good players who we would be surprised to see on the Eagles. He's got those short arms, and I think it's probably not a great scheme fit, even though I like him as a player.
Yeah, I mean, and he's got a ton of athletic upside. I think that if he does go early in the draft, then a team has done their homework and knows that he's a really high character guy that's going to take coaching and be able to build off of what he's shown in 1 year as a college football player. So,
right.
You know, and we'll see. I mean, who knows? We've seen this a little bit in the past with there's been some disparities between Senior Bowl measurements and combine measurements. Who knows? Maybe his arms will grow another half an inch.
All right, that's going to do it for our draft buzz. And now for more insight on the prospects who will be participating in next week's workouts, as well as some players who didn't make the cut, we're going to bring in our Mr. Relevant, Tony Pauline.
It's time for Mr. Relevant.
And our Mr. Relevant once again here on the Journey to the Draft podcast presented by AAA is none other than Tony Pauline of DraftInsider.net. You can follow him on Twitter at Tony Pauline. Tony, how has your life changed since you were immortalized in the column by Dave Spadaro on Philadelphia.com?
Yeah, the phone hasn't stopped ringing, and okay. I'm getting emails from all these women. I don't know who they are, so I guess in a way it's good.
Any calls from Hollywood? They want to make the Tony Pauline story a movie.
Ooh.
Yeah, yes, but I got to shave off my mustache. I don't know that's going to happen.
Well, that's a non-starter. I mean,
there you go.
That's no deal at all.
Draft day, you have the Draft Nick movie, the story of Tony Pauline. Could be a romantic
comedy. From the pole vault to the I don't know. I'll think about the tagline.
I was going to say, Bo will be cranking behind the scenes on that. Tony, we are 1 week out from the start of the NFL Scouting Combine. Can you talk about some of the changes in terms of the schedule and how the workouts are being handled this year as opposed to previous years?
Well, the first thing is the entire event starts a week earlier. I mean, usually in the past, since I've started attending the Combine in 2001, it was the last weekend in February, and sometimes it even spilled out into March. If that last weekend, you know, the 27th, the 28th was a Saturday and Sunday, some of the defensive players would work out the first couple days of March. So it's basically pushed up a week, and it's also pushed up a day, where the workouts in the past, the offensive linemen always start the on-the-field workouts, I should say, would start on Saturday morning. Now the offensive linemen, the on-field workouts start on Friday. So it's pushed up 1 week. As far as the entire event's concerned, and the workouts are pushed up a day. I'm sure it was done. I mean, I've heard good and bad. A lot of people like it because they want to get it over with. A lot of people, players say the players need more time to train. You know, the national championship game was just over a month ago, so some of those guys, you know, are still feeling some of the nicks and bruises. They want a little bit more time to train and to heal. You're never going to make anybody happy. It'll be interesting to see how it goes off.
Tony, before we talk about the players who are going to be there, how about some of the snubs, some of the players who are not invited to the Combine? Who are some of the players atop your list in that regard?
Yeah, I was very surprised that Chris Bonner, a guy who I've touted for a while now, quarterback at Colorado State Pueblo, a guy who's a legitimate 6'8", has a huge arm, can make all the passes, blew it up in the Medal of Honor game, was not invited. I was surprised that he was not invited because, number one, I think he has the talent and should have been at the Combine. And, number two, it's just a poor quarterback class except for the top two guys. And I really think he deserved an invitation. I was very surprised, especially Colorado State Pueblo, when they have their pro day, unless they can get him into Colorado's pro day or Colorado State's pro day, Colorado State Pueblo is not an easy place to go to, so I don't think there's going to be a lot of teams who make that trip. I was also surprised looking at the defensive tackle position. Two guys who did not get invited who I think really should have. Xavier Williams.
Yeah.
From Northern Iowa, who we saw down at the Shrine game, was basically unstoppable on the inside. Terrific size. I thought with all of his physical skills and what he showed, you know, in the past what would happen is those invitations to the Combine would go out literally right around New Year's. They'd be out the end of December, the list would be out. Now they basically hold on to it and they wait and they're sending invitations out through the end of January. I thought Williams definitely should have gotten an invite, as should have Caleb Ewells of Mississippi State, who did a solid job at the Senior Bowl. You watch him on film, he's big, he's strong, he's relatively athletic. I was surprised that those two defensive tackles were not invited.
Tony, you got some buzz out on the West Coast that there's a player who is not invited to the Combine who's training with some Combine participants who's doing an outstanding job, apparently.
Yeah, a kid by the name of Malcolm Bunch, who played the tackle for UCLA this year, was a starter. He was a transfer from started his career at Miami of Florida. You know, he's shown spurts. He's got a lot of athletic ability. A lot of people think he's worthy of a late-round pick. He's working out on the West Coast with some of the bigger Pac-12 offensive linemen. And from what I hear, Malcolm Bunch has been the star of training. Joe Staley, the former first-round pick, has been coaching him and has been raving about his skills. He's basically beating up the guys who will be competing or participating at the Combine in all the physical tests as well as just the football drills. So Bunch is a name to keep an eye on when UCLA has their pro day mid to late March. He will not be at the Combine, but he's one of those guys that may slip through the cracks and then all of a sudden is one of the first offensive linemen not invited to the Combine to get selected in the draft.
Tony, every year there's always a list of underclassmen that declare for the draft and then don't get invited to the combine. It happens every year, unfortunately. And one of the big ones this year was Deion Barnes out of Penn State. We saw him at the Senior Bowl, so we got some exposure to him live. How surprised were you to see that he wasn't invited to the combine?
You know, I was mildly surprised, but I thought all along Deion Barnes made a mistake entering the draft. I mean, you watch the film. We saw him at the Senior Bowl. He's a one-dimensional, up-the-field sort of pass rusher, and he's very average at that. I mean, he's not big. He's not fast. He's not strong. Really did nothing. In fact, on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, he was one of my sliders during the week because I just didn't see enough of him. I don't know why he entered the draft. I don't know whether he was forced into the draft or he just got bad information. And this just kind of affirms what I had felt all along. I'm mildly surprised, but it kind of just reaffirms that the guy should have never entered the draft to begin with.
Say what you will about Tony, but he has been consistent about Deion Barnes. That's for sure. Tony, you know, the one player, of course, who Eagles fans are always asking about when it comes to this draft is Marcus Mariota. Any more word on whether or not he's going to participate in drills at the combine?
I've heard nothing recently. I haven't made any calls, to be honest about it. I think it's probably going to be a last-minute decision for Mariota. Knowing the person that he is and hearing about his character, I'm sure he very much wants to throw at the combine. But again, I mean, he got go back to what I said. The event has been pushed up a week. He did get banged up in that national championship game, came back and played. So I'm sure they're going to wait and see if he's going to be fully healthy or close to fully healthy to show off his wares. You know, a lot of times what happens is these guys will go through the medicals because these medicals are kind of brutal. I mean, they will pull on joints. They will pull on knee joints. They will test those shoulder joints. And there have been some situations where guys have come out of those medicals, you know, feeling banged up because they're pulling on legs to check the integrity of knee joints and things like that. So he may just wait till after the medicals to see how he feels and decide whether or not he's going to throw.
Tony, while we're talking about drills and guys participating in certain events, you look on the defensive side of the ball. Every year there's always a discussion about, you know, the back seven, the guys in the at cornerback and at safety, and how maybe is it unfair that those guys go through similar drills, you know, when you're comparing athletically guys who are 6'2", 225 pounds to a guy who's, you know, 5'10", 197 pounds and trying to compare them athletically. But then when you look at the front seven, you think this year there's a little bit disparity with guys that some are listed as defensive ends, some are listed as linebackers that maybe put to some kind of an advantage.
Really surprised at that. I mean, Alvin Dupree, who's, you know, a pretty big guy who primarily lined up at a three-point stance at Kentucky, though he did stand up, is listed as outside linebacker, whereas two underclassmen, Dante Fowler of Florida and Shane Ray of Missouri, who were smaller than Dupree, are going to be lined up at defensive end. Now, at face value, you say it's no big deal, but the fact of the matter is Fowler and Ray are going to be participating primarily in defensive end drills, which they're used to. They will do some linebacker drills. I'm sure they're going to be doing, you know, the alternate position drills, which has grown in recent years because, really, of the advent and the metamorphosis of players being asked to do multiple things. Whereas Dupree is primarily going to be doing linebacker drills, which, you know, he's not as accustomed to based on his playing days at Kentucky. And then probably at the end of the linebacker drills, we'll do some defensive line drills. I just found it just so interesting, very interesting, the way that, you know, they positioned the guys. I would have thought that, especially when you watch him on film, Fowler would have been tried at outside linebacker more so than Dupree being used as an outside linebacker. It's interesting. It's an opportunity for these guys. It's a big opportunity for Dupree because if he comes out of that out of the combine with good testing results and does well in the drill linebacker drills, he's really going to improve his stock because, you know, teams are going to say, well, we got this guy who could be a tremendous pass rusher out of a three-point stance, and he showed us everything we need to see if we ask him to stand up and play over tackle, moving in reverse. So it's a good opportunity, but you better be on his game.
And Dupree was a guy who missed out on the Senior Bowl. Obviously, he pulled out as one of the late guys who, you know, pulled his name out of consideration for the game. You talked earlier about the combine getting moved up. Do you think that has had an impact on some of these prospects who possibly wanted another week to be able to train for the combine and worry about the 40, worry about the 3-cone and the short shuttle as opposed to go down to Mobile?
I'm sure it did, especially those guys who may have been nicked up a little bit or may have had, you know, hamstring issues or something like that. Say, you know, let's not chance it. Let's not go down to Mobile. and re-injure ourselves or further aggravate an injury and make the situation worse for the combine, which in my opinion is wrong because, you know, Dupree goes to, you look at Marcus Smith last year from Louisville, right or wrong, went to the combine, proved his worth at linebacker, and improved his draft stock probably a full round. And you can do that more so, I feel, at the Senior Bowl than you can at the combine. But I think your point is well taken and is absolutely right on for a few players.
Tony, who are some of the players with the most to prove at the scouting combine next week?
Well, I mean, you got to look at the quarterbacks, obviously. The ones, you know, depending on the underclassmen who are going to throw, as well as guys like Grayson of Colorado State, because there's such a void there after those top two. If some of those senior quarterbacks can throw well, make those NFL passes, show accuracy to receivers who they are, you know, not accustomed to throwing to, I think that they'll be able to help themselves. You look at the running backs, Melvin Gordon, if he's going to work out, how fast is he in the 40? There's some questions about his 40 time. I think he's a guy who can really solidify himself, not only as a first-round pick, but as a mid-first-round pick if he works out well. You know, Carl Davis of Iowa, he looked like a beast at the Senior Bowl when we were down there. He was unstoppable. He looked like a good athlete. Now here's an opportunity for him to prove that he's a good athlete through the testing, through the 40, you know, with the bench press and everything else, to solidify himself as a late first-round pick. And then there's always the medicals. I mean, people talk about the bench press, the 40, the vertical jump, everything else. It's the medicals that are the most important aspect of the combine because, you know, they will look under every rock possible to see, make sure that these guys are healthy. They will go back to high school injuries and get MRIs on high school injuries. So if there's any questions about injuries in the past, they're going to be uncovered at the combine, and that could more so break a player than make a player.
All right, Tony, I have the name of your autobiography. Are you ready?
Should I sit down for this?
You might. You might want to. Okay. The man behind Mr. Jiggles.
There you go.
How Tony Pauline went from Olympic strider to draft insider.
Yeah, nice. There you go. Although we have to give Brent Sobleski credit for Mr. Jiggles because he was the guy sitting next to me who wrote that down, although I got the heat for it.
You did. But all these years later, you get linked to Mr. Jiggles.
Which will go down in infamy, I'm sure.
I think so.
I was actually wondering what Bo was jotting down.
From Olympic strider to draft
insider.
That's
a great one. That's a good one.
Yeah. So we'll work on it, Tony. I think in the offseason maybe you and me can put it together.
Absolutely. And I mean, are we going to reveal the identity of Mr. Jiggles?
Sure. It doesn't matter to me. He's not on the Eagles. Andre Smith.
I believe it was a center from Clemson.
Last name
was Fry. I believe his first name was Brandon Fry.
Dustin Fry.
Sorry?
Dustin Fry.
Dustin Fry. There you go.
Andre Smith's a different story.
The predecessor to Terrence Cody, and I don't think I need to go any further.
There you go.
Andre Smith's a different story.
Well, Andre Smith wasn't at the Senior Bowl, so
that was what you found out that he had left.
It was AWOL.
And then he was AWOL, exactly. That was a great story. But I think Andre Smith kind of, if you remember, almost knocked himself out when he ran his 40 at his pro day with body parts moving in all directions.
And on that note,
Tony Pauline from DraftInsider.net. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Tony Pauline. He'll have breaking news leading up to the combine and during the week with prospect news, the latest buzz, what teams are planning on doing, everything that's going on in Indy. Tony will be on top of it. Tony, thank you very much as always.
See you guys next week in Mid-America.
Now it's time for Pick Six.
All right, special thanks to Tony Pauline once again. So sticking with the theme of the combine and players with the most approved, we decided for our Pick Six, we will do the six players with the most approved at the combine. And I'll kick this one off. And I have to think that all three of us put this name at the very top of the list here. Jameis Winston, quarterback from Florida State.
I don't have him, but
I did. I had him on top of my list. So go ahead.
I want it to go different. So.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's the only reason you would do it is just to go different. But obviously, and it's not the on-field stuff with him. It's going to be the interviews. It's going to be the background info. It's going to be getting up close with the teams and, you know, answering the questions about, you know, his behavior at Florida State. And, you know, there'll be some football stuff about why he had so many interceptions as compared to the previous year. But nonetheless, it's really going to be the getting to know process, the background check. That's going to be the big question with Jameis Winston. So that's why, for me, he's number one, even though it has nothing to do with the drills. Looking at the drills, I went with Dante Fowler out of Florida. Reason for him is he had to play at multiple weights. He played, you know, played along the line, played outside linebacker, moved around a different formation. It seemed like, you know, by the time he had realized he was going to declare for the draft when he was leaving with Will Muschamp, that I think he was finally getting to a place physically where he was set at. I feel like he'll be the most comfortable there, and I think that he'll be able to showcase that athleticism in the drills next week and be able to show his worth.
Fowler is very, very impressive. I mean, I think he's, in terms of upside, I think he might have some of the highest upside in terms of defenders in this draft. You know, we talked about pro comparisons earlier. I think a guy that just the way that he moved, and then you look at the dimensions, they were very similar. Some of the issues were very similar as well. And this guy coming out of Georgia in 2011, and he had a big year this year, is Justin Houston. You know, and they were kind of built similarly. Like I said, I think Houston came in 6'3", 260, and that's I think Fowler is 6'2", 260. So very, very similar dimensions and similar qualities that I think you can kind of make that comparison.
And I think, you know, we talked about how the edge players are sort of under focus, especially during the drills, and there are a lot of potential first rounders at pass rusher in this draft. So, you know, it's the three cone drill and the shuttles. Those are where your speed rushers are going to stand out, like Bruce Irvin and Von Miller have in recent years. And then you've got the broad jump, which is more that explosiveness.
Sure.
And I was looking at the best broad jumps over the last 8 years. They have, since 2006 is when NFL.com has the rankings. Jamie Collins was like insane.
Yep.
2 years ago, 11-7, whereas the second best is 10-11, and then it goes down from there. So you've got Jamie Collins, Xavier Gordon, Ryan Shazier, Kareem Martin, and then a bunch of guys tied: Cam Wimbley, Connor Barwin, Khalil Mack, Barkevious Mingo, Michael Johnson. So it's a good. The broad jump is a good indication of, I think, that explosiveness.
Yeah, no question.
Number three on my list, we talked about earlier, Jalen Collins, corner from LSU. It was 10 career starts that he's had, so that's a big thing with him. But I feel like that his raw athleticism will show, and might be too tempting for teams to pass up. I'm going to go with a receiver, Devontae Parker of Louisville, someone who I know that Fran isn't the biggest fan of. But my thing is, he's got great size. You know, he's able to win the jump ball. Had a foot injury last season. You know, did that hinder his numbers a little bit of how fast he looked on the field? That's why I think the testing will be big for him. Last couple of guys here, running back Duke Johnson out of Miami, so I know Fran does like. He's only 5'9", but lightning quick, should flash during the drills. And then a raw prospect along the offensive line, you guys saw him up close, tackle TJ Clemming out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So those are the six guys. So the guy I wish I, you know, as I'm learning more about the prospects as we go along the process here, I wish I knew some of the guys who maybe are considered slow. Now, maybe not slow, but the big question about them going to the combine is, you know, they seem to be good instinctive players, but do they have the athleticism? Do they have the quicks to be able to shine at the next level? That's the one thing I wish I knew more about. It seems like I know it's easy to find the guys who are going to, you know, win these combine drills, so to speak.
I've got you covered. I'll touch on those in a bit. I'll let Bo jump in.
Oh, okay. You let Bo go.
Yeah,
I'll let
Bo go.
All right. So, you know, there are, as we said, there are these different ways that guys have different things to prove. So along the Jameis Winston, where the meetings are important, I went with DGB, Dorial Green-Beckham. Obviously, he's got a lot to answer for. Mm-hmm. In terms of proving injury stuff, I went with Ifo Epre-Olumu from Oregon. I think the medicals are obviously going to be very important for him. He's not going to participate in the drills, but everybody's going to want to check out.
Now, how tall is he? He's 5'9".
He's like 5'9". He's 5'9" and a half.
5'9" and a half.
Yep. So he is a little short. In terms of stuff like that, the measurements themselves, I went with Alex Carter, the Stanford cornerback. He's listed at 6 feet. How close to that is he? And he's got a chance to maybe move his way into the top half of round two, if he works out well too. In terms of the drills themselves, the position drills, the fluidity, Shaq Thompson from Washington, is he going to stay at linebacker? Will teams think about moving him to safety? You know, you've talked about Fran. Some teams think he might even be a running back. So
right.
He'll be interesting to watch. And then in terms of the testing drills themselves, one of the outside linebackers, potentially Vic Beasley from Clemson, who I think is interesting because everybody's sort of talking about the other edge players. Early in the season, Vic Beasley was talked about as maybe a top five pick. He's sort of fallen down a little bit. Maybe he's got a chance to test well and push his stock back up.
That's very interesting because I thought early in the process, you know, when I say early in the process, I mean like over the summer.
Right.
I thought that he was getting a little bit too much hype. And now he's not getting any hope.
Right.
So that's a good point by you.
And then the last one is to piggyback off of what we were talking about before, Devin Smith. If you're going to tell me that he's more explosive than DeSean Jackson, he better run the hell out of his 40 time. You know, it's going to be him and Philip Dorsett, Jamison Crowder, a couple of those other guys. But someone is going to have the blowout performance, the Marquise Goodwin performance, even though didn't really prove
didn't
anything for it. You know, you look at the fastest wide receivers since 2006. It's not a great group.
No, we've thought when we did the Scouts Notebook segment a year ago. I remember Greg Cosell saying, if you look at the top receivers in the NFL, not many of them run 4.3 40s.
No.
I mean, it's not a precursor to being a Pro Bowl wide receiver.
The only Pro Bowler who's in the top 15 is DeSean.
Right. Yeah. It's a very interesting little note from there. So my six guys, and I tried to do it a very similar way, Bo, is I just tried to look at different ways that guys can elevate their stock. C-Mac, you brought up a good point in terms of Jameis Winston, obviously the off-field. So I went with Winston, but, you know, there are other guys. Bo, you brought up Dorial Green-Beckham. Marcus Peters, the corner from Washington, obviously will have some questions to answer about his exodus from the Huskies program. And then Frank Clark, the edge rusher from Michigan, had a number of off-field issues there at Michigan, got himself kicked off the team because of an issue off the field in the middle of the season.
P.J. Williams, too.
P.J. Williams, no question. That's another good one. So I think those are you talk about guys with off-field, they're going to have the questions to answer there. One guy who I think Bo was a little surprised when I told him that I would put this guy on my list, Kevin White, the receiver from West Virginia, 6'3", 211 pounds. How is he going to run? You know, if he goes and he runs in the high 4.5s, low 4.6s, people may be a little bit more nervous about taking him in the top 10. Whereas if he goes and he runs low 4.4s, there might be a little bit less angst there. But the issue is he didn't go to the Senior Bowl.
Right.
So there was one less area where he could have, put his talents on display. So you look at him, you look at Eric Kendricks, you look at Brett Hundley, you look at Rashad Green, some of these other guys who chose not to go to the Senior Bowl, an area where they could have, elevated their stock a little bit. We talked about Bud Dupree with Tony Pauline. It's the same kind of deal. How will those guys do after missing the Senior Bowl? Another guy went with Devin Funchess. We talked about him earlier. He's going to be listed as a receiver. Some think he's a tight end. You look at every year, there's always guys at the combine where you're trying to figure out what position is he going to be at the next level. So you look at Funchess. You look at Benardrick McKinney out of Mississippi State. You look at Eric Rowe, the corner slash safety. He played both at the Senior Bowl. What is he going to be at the next level? And then Brandon Scherff, who – look, going into the year, I thought he was the best senior that I watched. And, a lot of people not necessarily down on him, but don't necessarily look at him as a top five pick. I think he's better than Zach Martin, who was, I think it was the 12th pick last year or something along those lines.
That. 16,
14. 16, in the teens. I think he's better than Zach Martin. I liked him. He's not as athletic as this guy, but I liked him more than Greg Robinson, who was the second pick last year. So I think that Brandon Scherff is, he's got some stuff to prove as well. So, C-Mac, you brought up the guys that have the instincts, but they have to prove just how athletic they are. Denzel Perryman, the linebacker from Miami, I think will have to prove that. Mike Mayock, we talked about last week, said that he will be a first-round pick if he can run well, if he can do well in drills. I think Perryman is one of those guys at 5'10 and a half, 240-plus pounds. You look at Tevin Coleman, the running back from Indiana, Haoli Kikaha from Washington, Landon Collins, Ibrahim
Medicals
Campbell.
For him too, Kikaha.
Yep, exactly. But if you look at guys that, the instincts are there, a lot of the intangibles are there, but how athletic are they? Are they good prospects or are they great prospects? And that's going to be the question that some of those guys are going to have to answer. You talked about the medicals earlier, Bo. The Oa Adigizua has had two hip surgeries in the last 2 years. How is he going to look once he's getting scrutinized there by all the team doctors? Gerard Holloman, the underclassman safety, has had a history of shoulder issues. Matt Jones, the running back from Florida, has had a couple knee injuries. And then Jordan Hicks, the talented linebacker from Texas, has had a couple season-ending injuries as well. So I think from an injury standpoint, you're looking at those guys. And then a guy who I think, Bo, you were surprised to see this guy too, Obum Gwacham.
Because you made him up.
No, I didn't make him up. He's a defensive end. He's probably going to be a linebacker at the next level. Oregon State, former wide receiver, 6'5", 235 pounds.
I remember him now. You were talking about it. You liked him.
Yeah. So, imagine, and this is a little bit for Eagles fans out there. So imagine if you took Ifeanyi Moma and he was a little bit bigger and you added like 20 pounds to him and you put him at defensive end. That's what Gwacham is. I mean, just the speed in the open field, the ability to turn the corner, the high motor kid. He's played special teams at Oregon State, so he's got some ability, tackling ball carriers and things of that nature. He was a guy that I think if he goes and he tests really well, shows the ability to be coachable in interviews, I think that, you know, he could go a long way to help himself. And other guys that I think are kind of flying under the radar, Trey McBride, we saw at the Shrine Game, and then Ross Sherman, the running back from Lafayette. In a loaded running back class, could he, you know, possibly move up?
C-Mac, last week we made fun of a friend when he decided he was going to pick six for pick six. Today he went pick 50. Like,
well,
he named everybody.
I went themes.
He picked six themes.
Okay.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, when did this become pick 12?
There's nobody left. We named every player at the combine.
I wanted to kind of structure it. So really the six guys were Winston, Kevin White, Funchess, Perryman, Odighizuwa, and Obengwatch.
Okay.
Very nicely done. So on that note, we're going to have our first unofficial visit. And, Bo, it's someone who you mentioned during your pick six.
The man who Fran says has a chance to be the most explosive player in the entire NFL, perhaps NFL history, Devin Smith, the wide receiver from Ohio State.
The unofficial visit.
All right, we're here with Devin Smith, the Ohio State wide receiver. And Devin, first of all, tell us why you decided to come here to the Senior Bowl just a week after the big game, sort of to prove yourself. What was that decision like?
You know, when I got the invite, I was real excited about it. I felt this was just a one-time life opportunity to be out here and really get a chance to show your skill set to some of these teams, and I felt it was a great opportunity for me to come out here and do that.
What was it like to just mentally sort of turn the page from being in the team atmosphere, you know, playing for the big game, obviously, you win the game, and then so quickly you have to turn the page to selling yourself and being sort of selfish, I guess, a little bit?
You know, that part of it I don't think is very hard, because when you know you have a common goal with your teammates, you sort of work, you know, real, real hard, mm-hmm. and not just for yourself but for others on your team. And when you come out here and you're all about yourself, you know, you know what you have to work on, and you go out there and grind and, you know, try to do everything you can to the best of your ability.
So what was the game like? Tell us. What was it like to win the national championship?
Yeah, it was crazy. I you know, I can remember just holding that trophy at the end of the game, man, and I hugged it, and it was just a feeling that just went through my whole body. Like, man, I just can't believe we did this, and I was so happy, and then after the game, I'm just sitting in the hotel just relaxing, and I'm just reminiscing on just the whole year and how it went, and it was just amazing.
You know, for the Eagles, of course, Chip Kelly, the head coach, do you feel like he's going to have a grudge against you?
He may. He wasn't
the coach, so you know, it wasn't his team. But I'm sure he was rooting for Oregon.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, he's real good friends with Coach Meyer.
Yeah.
He came down to watch our practice a few times, so he probably could tell you that it's no surprise that we came out on top with the win and how good we played, because he know what type of coach Overmeyer is.
So for you as a prospect, you know, the scouting report on you is that you are that deep downfield guy, the big plays downfield. For you this week, is it about proving that you're more than that?
Yeah, you know, me personally, I know that I can run all the other routes. I know that's one thing that really wasn't displayed, especially this year. But I know I can run those routes, and it's just a matter of me going out there and showing them.
At the same time, you know, it's easier probably for a guy who can make plays downfield to make the short plays as opposed to a slow guy trying to get open downfield. The speed is one of your selling points.
Yeah, that's one thing that I'm really wanting, you know, a lot of these guys to know that I am fast and looking to get faster.
As you go up against, you know, you played in the national championship game, you played a bunch of great teams, but as this is sort of a collection of some of the best players in college football, do you feel like you're the fastest guy on the field or among the fastest guys?
Yeah, I think I'm up there. I think probably top five, top ten fastest guys out there right now.
Growing up, were you always the fastest guy around?
A little bit. You know, there was times where a few guys were faster than me. When I was younger, I was more of a person that liked to jump.
Okay.
And I can always jump the highest, and you know, as I trained more and really start to understand the mechanics of running, I've got a lot faster.
Mm-hmm. When you get open downfield, you know, there are certain guys who are fast enough to create separation downfield, but they can't always necessarily complete the catch. That's something you do very well. Do you take pride in the fact that you can not only get open but make those contested catches down the field?
Yeah, it's very important when you get, you know, that wide open, you got to make the catch, or mm-hmm. you're going to look silly on TV. But I think what I can do very well is my body control, especially when, you know, I got to adjust to the ball and eye control. I think I'm pretty good at that, and I think with running track and high jumping and having that mental focus, I think was key to making some of those plays that I did.
I know it's a little further down the line now, and you still got a couple of days here left, but with that track background, are you expecting a big performance at the combine?
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm going to go train, and I'm going to train my tail off and try to run as fast as I can.
You're going to put any goal out there for us, or keep it to yourself?
I want to be in the 4-3 range. Okay. That's what I'm looking forward to running, and I'm going out there and train my tail off and do everything to the best of my ability.
Any hopes on when you'll come off the board come the draft, or you just want to sort of let it play out?
I'm really just let it play out. Yeah. I'm going to go out there and just work my tail off and see what all happens.
All right, two more questions. First, NFL comparison. You know, you're going to get them throughout the draft season. Who would you go with?
Probably Jeremy Maclin.
You're speaking our language again.
I watched him when he was at Missouri. He was a guy that I watched a lot. He was part of the reason why I chose number 9 when I was in high school.
Okay.
And just, you know, the way he runs and things like that and how fast he is, it just looks so smooth and so natural, and it kind of reminds me of myself a little bit.
Oh, man, I don't even want to ask a question after that. That's such a great way to end, but I'll ask it anyway. We ask everybody, best player you played this season?
On defense, I probably say Cyrus Jones is probably a guy that really competed and not just with guarding me, but with guarding other guys. And watching him on film, he was a guy that I thought kind of stood out to me.
All right, well, Devin Smith, national champion, Jeremy Maclin clone potentially. Best of luck throughout the draft process. Maybe we'll see you in Philadelphia.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Devin.
On the clock.
I get to take over the fun and games portion of the podcast this week.
All right, let's see how it goes.
So for this week's On the Clock, this is something we did last year on the program where I would throw out clues about draft prospects and let you guys take a guess.
Okay.
See if you can figure out who we're talking about here. So first one, he's in the Big Ten, comes from the Big Ten. He ran the 100-meter dash in high school. He was the 18th player in FBS history to crack 2,000 yards. He was this school's third unanimous All-American.
It's going to be Melvin Gordon.
No.
No. All right.
Oh, now I get all the clues.
Now you get all the clues. Go ahead.
Get all the clues. Let's see. He was a finalist for the Doak Walker. He finished 7th in the Heisman voting. Was all Big Ten.
Is it David Cobb?
No.
No. It is Amir Abdullah.
No,
it's not Amir Abdullah.
Oh, well, then it must be Jeremy Langford.
Tevin Coleman.
Ah, the lone Big Ten running back we didn't mention.
He finished 7th in the Heisman voting.
Yeah.
That's silly.
He had that huge game against Ohio State when they did an upset. It wasn't really close at the end, but he was unbelievable. I think he scored 3 touchdowns. He had that huge, 80-yard run. It was a big one, so.
He was among, I don't have the exact number, but among the nation's leaders in explosive runs
interesting.
For the year. So
I believe it.
All right. So
that was a disaster.
So next one, offensive lineman. You have talked about him before in the program. He, a former rookie free agent for the Eagles, moved from Jamaica to the U.S. when he was 10. He did track and field in high school, throwing the shot put and the discus. He's interested in a career in medicine. He was pre-med at this school.
Lakin Tomlinson.
Very nice.
How did that pain you to pick the guy from Duke?
No, because I nailed him. That was
Okay, so.
Got him.
Next one, Pac-12. He was drafted by the Boston Red Sox in the 18th round of the 2012 Major League Baseball draft. Played 13 games for the Gulf Coast League Red Sox. Did not have a single hit during his tenure.
Okay.
Let's see. Winner of the Paul Hornung Award, which Brandon Boykin won a couple years ago. His older brother played for the Broncos. Versatile player.
Oh, man. Eric Rowe.
Scored 6 touchdowns last season. 2 as a running back and 4 on defense.
It's not my turn. But
yeah. Is it... Shaq Thompson.
It's gotta be Shaq Thompson.
Yes, of course. All right. Shaq Thompson. Good one. All right.
So Shaq Thompson. Next,
I didn't know he was a baseball player.
I didn't know that either, actually.
So next one here. Let's see. D-line, Big 12, underclassman. He's married with two kids. Bo might know this because I mentioned it in my research. He has a teammate with virtually the same name.
Is it Malcolm Brown?
It is Malcolm Brown.
Malcolm Brown, that's it.
Is it the defensive tackle or the running
the
back?
The defensive tackle.
All right.
The defensive tackle.
That's right.
Malcolm Brown. Next one. Last one here. Let's see. From the SEC. Ran track in high school. Part of a state title winning team. Was born and raised in Louisiana.
You're throwing us off there. I think that's a red herring.
Let's see. He grew up a fan of another NFC East team, unfortunately. His announcement to choose a school went nationwide.
Landon Collins.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah, that's one of the most, we just had signing day last week. That's one of the most infamous signing day announcements.
Because I saw
it
for the first time last week going through the research, and I'm just like sitting there like the mom is sitting there waving the LSU gloves at the screen saying son made a wrong decision. I'm like, my parents would be like, I don't care where you go if you get it for free. So that's going to do it for On the Clock.
Well, no. I'm taking it back.
You're taking it back.
Another game. All right.
Fine.
I went through those combine results. I want you guys to see how many you can name of the top 10 40 times among quarterbacks since 2006.
Top 10?
Quarterbacks.
Quarterback 40 times
quarterback
since 2006.
40 times. Now, remember, they college quarterbacks.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, man. This is going to be tough. All right. Well, Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck is not on there.
Really?
Correct.
Mm.
Incorrect. Yes.
I was going to say Cam.
Cam is also not on there.
Yeah, because Andrew
Luck,
Luck yep.
Did Luck actually beat Cam? I thought they were very similar.
They were very
they
similar.
Were right
yeah.
about the same.
Their times.
DJ Shockley.
DJ Shockley is not on there.
Is Eric Crouch... Is that
I believe Eric Crouch predates 2006.
Predates 2006.
Okay. Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor is number 5. He ran a 4.51.
Okay.
And he's a free agent this year.
He is. That's right. From Baltimore. How many of these guys actually made it to the league?
Four of them were picked in the first 3 rounds.
Really?
One of them is currently on the Eagles. Not the same list.
Not the same list.
Not the same top 3 picks, but there is a player who is currently on the Eagles.
It's got to be Mark Sanchez.
No. Remember, I said college quarterbacks.
Oh, wow.
Brad Smith.
Brad Smith is number 4.
Okay.
4.46.
All right.
3 of them are currently starting quarterbacks. Jake Locker.
Colin Kaepernick.
Just missed. Colin Kaepernick. Yeah.
Sure.
4.53. Number 6.
Russell. Russell Wilson.
Russell is tied for 8th. 4.55.
Okay.
RG3.
RG3 is number 2. 4.41.
Josh Johnson.
Oh, very
nice.
Very tied nice. For 8th. 4.55. The other guy who's tied for 8th is a former second round pick who washed out of the league.
Pat White.
Pat White. Good call.
Correct. All right. Player who succeeded Pat White. This is
directly?
A tough one. I don't know if it was directly, but in the lineage. This is the toughest guy on the list, I would say. He's number 7.
No, I got nothing. Succeeded Pat White, 2010.
Jarrett Brown from West Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. All right, number 3 and number 1. Number 3, brother of a former Eagles quarterback.
Marcus?
Marcus Vick.
Wow.
4.42.
There you go.
In 2006. And also in 2006, the number 1, I'm trying to think of a good clue here. He ran a 4.35, which is very impressive.
But?
Big 12. Big 12 quarterback.
I got nothing.
Big 12 quarterback at the time.
So it's not Big 12 anymore. So it's probably quarterback from Nebraska.
Nope.
it's
now an SEC
team.
It's
now an SEC team, so it's from A&M or Mizzou. I got nothing. Who you got?
Reggie McNeil.
Ah, very nice.
There
good
go.
Call.
That was a good one.
That was good.
Right, so speaking of the fast quarterbacks, a guy who's got a chance, and I was going to put him in my – my pick sixes because, you know, Everyone wants to know how fast he is. Blake Sims from Alabama. Fran, you talked to Blake Sims at the Senior Bowl. Let's hear that now.
That's what you call a segue.
Yes.
The unofficial visit.
Here now with Alabama quarterback Blake Sims. And Blake, for the few fans that have yet to see you play, give us a scouting report. What can you see from Blake Sims on the field?
Very explosive, humble guy, a guy that tries to lead his team the best way that he can, care about his teammates, and willing to do whatever he has to do for his team.
What attribute do you feel like separates you from the other quarterbacks in this class?
My ability outside the pocket and my passion for the game.
Is there an attribute, you know, watching the NFL throughout the years, is there an attribute as a quarterback that you look at and say, that's the most important thing for a quarterback to have?
Michael Vick and Russell Wilson. Two great quarterbacks that I feel like I play alike and I image as in my game. And they're great quarterbacks. You know, they show the passion for the athletes in all type of ways.
How do you feel like you've done this week? Obviously, it's been a long week here. How do you feel like you fared?
I feel like I did pretty good. You know, I had a great time down here, and I wish the practice was longer and I had more opportunities down here.
Who was the best defender you got to see during your time here in Mobile?
I would say the kid from Ole Miss. He works hard. He doesn't take a playoff at any time.
All right, Blake, appreciate it. Hopefully we'll see you in Philadelphia at some point.
Thank you.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
All right, great stuff. Nice to get the interview there, Fran.
Thank you.
Nicely done. So we're going to get into the draft mailbag. And what I like is as we get further into the process, you know, fans are getting more into it and, you know, you're going to get some of the obvious questions who will take in the first round, but you're going to get some, you know, off-the-radar type names here thrown around, and I'll let you guys delve into those more than me. But our first one comes from Junkyard Post, who is on Twitter at JPRP717, wants to know if Devin Funchess is a potential first-round option for the Eagles.
Go ahead, Bill. I'll let you take
this one. We've talked about this as a possibility in the past that, you know, it depends how he runs here. It depends sort of what happens. But, I mean, if the board falls that way, I wouldn't be super shocked.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at a guy like Funchess, it comes down to what you want as a receiver. I mean, if you want someone like what Kelvin Benjamin brought to the Carolina Panthers this year, which is somebody who is big, is fast, can go down the field, and is just a matchup issue regardless of who you're going to play against. Funchess is that kind of a guy who can go up and battle with any defender that's lined up against him and win in contested catch situations. So Funchess, whether or not, and this is regardless of whether you see him as a receiver or a tight end, Funchess is that kind of guy. So that would be interesting.
All right. Next question comes from Mike Krajewski, who on Twitter at MKRAJESKI27.
Thank you.
Wants to know, you know, we talk about quarterbacks and, you know, obviously we talk about the top guys, but how about Rakeem Cato from Marshall as a potential late round option?
Vinny Curry
Eagles?
Loves him. Vinny Curry says he's a great player. Yeah. He's
didn't
tiny.
Get to
though,
the,
right?
Didn't get to the combine.
Didn't get to the combine.
He's tiny.
5'11, 171 pounds.
Jeez.
So, I mean, very, very tiny. And I mean, that's the big issue. I mean, he's quick release, he's athletic. You know,
does he get the ball out?
He gets the ball out quickly.
Can he spin it?
He doesn't really spin it that well.
Okay.
And just pocket poise. I mean, it was an issue from what I watched of him. Accuracy was up and down, but he was very, very productive in a system that, you know, it's got some similar traits to what the Eagles do. So, you know, it's as a undrafted guy, possibly.
Okay. Our last question here on the mailbag comes from J.R. Willis at Pensury, P-E-N-S-U-R-Y 76 on Twitter. Two different defensive backs. Bo, I'll let you talk about this first one.
Kevin Johnson. Or is it Bud Noel, who was also snubbed from the combine? Kevin Johnson is actually a good one for all eyes on him at the combine because he, too, skipped the Senior Bowl, like you said. There's questions about his frame. He's very slight upper body-wise. But if he runs well, he looks good on tape. You know, people seem to really like him, but he's got a lot of questions still, and he didn't get a chance to answer those at the Senior Bowl.
Exactly. I mean, And again, if he had gone to the Senior Bowl, we would know by now what he would weigh in at. But last I checked, he was sub 180. So
yeah.
For a guy who's 6 foot to be less than 180 pounds, I mean, you can imagine how skinny that is.
He's like Rakeem Cato.
That's right. Exactly. So, but good tackler, can hold up in man coverage. He's got some ability. He's got the length, and we'll see exactly what that length is when he gets out to Indy. But definitely a very interesting player.
The other player Wells was asking about, Alex Carter of Stanford. You mentioned him briefly earlier in the podcast.
Yeah, another guy that I think Bo brought him up in terms of how will he measure in at the combine. But listed 6 foot, 202 pounds, very physical guy, is willing to come up and be a part of the run game. If you look at a corner that you want to take in the first round, he's probably a step below what you would want athletically in terms of his transition quickness and his long speed and things like that. Probably a step below as a first round pick, but I think he's a very, very talented player in terms of his instincts. Like I said, his versatility to be able to come up and play against the run. I think he's got a good feel in man coverage. So I think that he could, be a relatively high pick just because of those intangibles.
And you made the point when watching him that you can see him in this scheme very easily.
Yeah, I think he would be a good fit. I think, in terms of, his ability up near the line of scrimmage as a press corner, which, the Eagles like to do. They value that length. I think he's got his ability to play at the line of scrimmage and his instincts. I think he'll be a good fit.
All right. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, Fran and I will be at the Combine all next week. Now, another project that Fran and Bo will be working on, the Film Room series. You guys will be filming that on Wednesday. We're taping this on Tuesday, so.
Start with the free agents, and then we'll get to the draft prospects in a little bit. But starting our work on free agency simultaneously to the draft prep.
Yeah, so that'll be Bo Wolf and Greg Cosell, and that'll be 3 times weekly from now until the start of free agency. So starting on Monday, you can expect one position to be broken down every Monday, every Wednesday, every Friday from now until free agency. So,
but we're filming them all tomorrow, so we're gonna have to change up our outfits so that people for continuity purposes.
Yeah, you just gave them a little peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, yeah, they listened this long. Right. I think they deserve that.
All right, here you go.
So, guys, great job. And so, again, Fran and I will be at the Combine, so we will have our first podcast next Wednesday as we will preview the Combine as the workouts start in earnest. I think they start Friday in earnest. I think the offensive linemen are on the field Friday. They do the bench press on Thursday, but we'll give you a preview. We'll also have some interviews as the offensive linemen and the specialists. They will be doing interviews that first day, that Wednesday, so we will have some of the players on the podcast, but we will just provide you as much coverage as we can, try to introduce you to as many prospects during the week as we can, and just try to give you a feel of what the buzz is regarding what the Eagles are going to do in the
draft buzz.
Not just draft, it's free agency, because you have all the decision makers, all the agents going to be in Indianapolis. That's when the rumor central.
Well, then we're going to have to change the bumper.
We may.
So. Luckily, we have Chris Barletto here.
That's yes. Right.
He does have a microphone, though.
Yeah.
So, Chris, great job behind the scenes. Thank you very much. And
have fun in Indy, guys.
We certainly will. We will miss you. Maybe we'll call you in to be a Mr. Relevant.
I don't think we can call him in, but we'll try.
Oh, thanks, Fran.
So
your office is going to be gone when you come back.
So, everyone, thanks for listening. You've been checking out the Journey to Draft podcast presented by AAA.